This chapel message is brought to you by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations.
Years ago, when I was on staff, came to CMDA as the chaplain and director of leadership and church relations, I was involved in helping to put together a purpose statement for chapel. And I dug it out yesterday, and as I was putting together a series of things to send to some of our future chapel speakers, and it says this: the purpose of CMDA Chapel is to encourage, equip, and exhort our CMDA family to be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ and to serve Him in unity. And I couldn't help but think about this idea: to be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That's why we take time out twice a week to kind of come together and to share our burdens together and to pray together, but to encourage one another to be followers of Jesus Christ. I love this quote by Beth Moore: if we are leading but not closely following Christ, we are misleading. And so often we don't really understand what it means to be followers of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, these simple words: come, follow me. It's been argued that all of Jesus' teachings, the great Sermon on the Mount, everything that he ever taught us in the Word of God, all the red letters in the Scripture, can be boiled down to these two words: follow me. Because if we're doing that, then we've got all the instruction we need. He's given us an example, the Bible says, how we should follow him. And so if we just simply understand, the easiest way to understand what it means to be a follower of Christ is follow him, to do what he does. And we're going to talk about that today. And I want to talk about what it means to be a follower of Christ. It's just a little bit of a Bible study, more than a sermon today. And the reason why I could call it a Bible study is sermons are supposed to have 3 points or 4 points. I usually sneak 7 in there, but this has 12. And so it's got to be a Bible study. You can't call it a sermon, right? I will tell you this: I'll do this in the same amount of time that we call a 3-point sermon. So it'll be a lot of information I'm going to give you today. Don't worry about it. Don't stress over it. Don't be anxious about anything. Just kind of follow along, okay? And if you'd like a copy of this, just email me today and I'll send you my notes and you can have these principles. This idea of following is not an unusual concept. Although we struggle with it in terms of spiritually, when it comes to social media, how many of you realize this is like the biggest thing right now? Is just everyone's all about following. Follow me, and follow us on Instagram, follow us on Facebook, follow us on this, and follow us on that. And I was putting together this slide yesterday, and I realized there's so many things you can follow in the social media world. I don't even know what they are. I had to look up some of them, going, okay, what's this one? I've never heard of this one, and it's the new thing. And everyone's saying, follow me. Our culture has become fascinated by getting followers. Fascinated by getting followers. The only place this doesn't seem to be a priority is oftentimes in the Christian community. And how sad. Because Jesus boils it down to the simple words: come, follow me. Dallas Willard, in some of his writings, he said, the contemporary American church in particular do not require following Christ in his example, his spirit, and his teachings as a condition of membership, either of entering into or continuing in fellowship of a denomination or a local church. Most problems in contemporary churches can be explained by the fact that members have not yet decided to follow Christ. Not yet decided to follow Christ. Kyle Idleman said this in his book, The Fan: The biggest threat to the church today is fans who call themselves Christians but aren't actually interested in following Christ. They want to be close enough to Jesus to get all the benefits, but not so close that it requires anything significant from them. And I began to think about this concept, and what I began to realize is that in the church today, we seem more interested in people finding Christ than following Christ. Now, there's nothing wrong with finding Christ. If you know someone that's lost, finding Christ is a significant first step in the journey of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. They have to find Christ before they follow Christ. But it seems like many times that's the end of our programs. It's the end of our advances, to get people to find Christ and not necessarily to follow Christ. And I have to argue that many of these are true, that many of us in our churches today, we don't really understand what it means to follow Christ. And so to make sure that we do, and since our mission is to helping people faithfully follow Christ in chapel, I thought it'd be helpful to go to the Word of God and to see what the Bible has to say about following Christ and see what things we can learn from Him. What does it mean to follow Christ? As someone said, following Jesus is not about diligently keeping a set of rules or conjuring up the moral fortitude to lead good lives. It's all about loving God and enjoying Him. What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? What I did was I began to walk through the Scripture, and I began to look at places where Jesus either directly said, follow me, or the Scripture talks about what it means to follow Christ. And these are some of the things in the Scriptures that I came upon, and I think this will tell us and teach us what it means to follow Christ. Number one, following Christ means that I am in the process of becoming what He has called me to be. That I am in the process. Now, I think this is important because Matthew 4:19 says, then He said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I love this idea that following Christ is a process that we're going through. I don't know how many of you realize this, but none of us are perfect. Amen? And none of us have attained or arrived at where God wants us to be. We're in the process of becoming like what Christ has called us to be. If we find Christ but don't follow Christ, then we significantly shorten that journey. And we stay, I believe, very immature in our walk with Christ if we're finding Christ but not following Him and learning and following in His footsteps. Paul would write in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, that he who began a good work in you, what he'll do? He's going to complete it, right? So when I'm following Christ, what does it mean to follow Christ? That I'm in the process of becoming who He's created me to be. Now, I don't know how long you've been following Christ. For some of you, it may be a couple years. For some of you, it may be many years. The idea is that hopefully today you're farther along in your following than you were when you first started. And you're a lot more looking like who Christ is than when you began this journey. Following Christ means, number one, I'm in the process of becoming what He has called me to be. Number two, following Christ means I am practicing the disciplines of immediate obedience. I am practicing the disciplines of immediate obedience. Matthew chapter 4, verse 20 through 22, and the next few verses that follow the one I just read. Jesus said, come follow me. That was the invitation He gave to His disciples. It says, they immediately left their nets and followed Him. Going on from there, He saw two other brothers, James, the sons of Zebedee, and John, His brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and He called them, and immediately they left their boats and their father, and they followed Him. I'm reminded today that delayed obedience is still disobedience. Do you realize that? That one of the things we read about in the Gospels is that when these disciples were called to follow Him, when they received the invitation to follow, it tells us that they immediately responded. They immediately responded. One of the signs of someone following Christ is that they are practicing the discipline of immediate obedience. When God speaks to us, when we hear His voice, when He challenges us to do something, when we sense His leading in our life, we don't argue, we don't debate, we don't run, we immediately obey. It's one of the signs of following Christ. Number three, I would suggest that following Christ means my words are more than rhetoric. My words are more than rhetoric. They have meaning to them. They have significance. They have substance to them. Matthew chapter 8, verses 19 and 20 says, then a certain scribe came to and said to Him, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. You know, saying, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ often seems like the right thing to do. Oftentimes, as Christians, we know the Christianese or the Christian lingo or the Christian language or the proper words that we should use in proper settings at the right times. But however, true followers of Christ, their words are more than rhetoric. They're just not fancy things that we say or things that people expect us to hear. They have meaning behind them. Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 8, these people draw near with their mouths, but they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Listen, you can't follow Jesus at a distance. And if you follow Jesus at a far distance, you find out what Peter found out, you get in trouble. And you have a tendency to deny him when we're following at such a distance. You see, when their hearts are far from me, then they're not walking so closely with the Lord and not following so closely behind. Francis Chan said this. He said, following Christ isn't something that can be done half-heartedly or on the side. It's not a label that we can display when it's useful. It must be central to everything we do and everything we are. Number four, I'd suggest that following Christ means I have surrendered the first place position in my life to Christ. I have surrendered the first place position in my life to Christ. There are many people that bring Christ into the equation of their life and only to make him a part of their life, not the first place. Many times, most of us will struggle with a point. Once we find Christ, it's that debate that goes on. It's the war that wages in our soul for Christ having a place and Christ having first place, and there's a substantial difference. Matthew chapter 8, verse 21-22 says this, "Then another of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' But Jesus said to him, 'Follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead.'" You see, both first place and first priority is something that Jesus expects. Jesus should be the first person in our lives. And Jesus would often talk about hating father and mother and this and that, and it almost seems like he's unkind, or he doesn't care about our loved ones, or doesn't care about our family members, or the ones who have passed away. In this particular passage of Scripture, there's no indication that I find in the Scripture or any study of the Scripture that any of these people have died. It's just, well, first of all, you know, someday my parents are getting older and I'm going to have to deal with that. Before I follow you and do what I feel led to do, then I've got to do this first. But Jesus teaches that to be a follower of Jesus Christ means that I have surrendered the first place position in my life solely to Jesus Christ. Number five, following Christ means that I am not only embracing the cross, but enduring it as well. Not only embracing the cross, but enduring it as well. Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, "And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Matthew 16, verse 24, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.'" You know that Luke, when he writes that in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he says, he adds just one word, take up his cross, what? Daily. Daily. It's a mark of following Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon wrote, "You cannot be Christ's servant if you are not willing to follow him, cross and all. What do you crave? A crown? Then it must be a crown of thorns if you are going to be like him. Do you want to be lifted up? So you shall, but it will be upon a cross." What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? It means that I am not only embracing the cross, but enduring it as well. It's one thing to say I'm willing to pick up my cross daily and to follow, but it's another thing to endure the cross, and that's what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Number six, means I have surrendered every area of my life to Christ, including my finances. Including my finances. Well, now we're meddling, right? That was all about being a follower of Jesus Christ and committed to going with him and doing what he led me to do. The Scripture says in Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, Jesus said to him, this is the rich young ruler, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come, follow me." And the Bible tells us that at that moment, he put his head down and walked away sad because he had many possessions. I mean, hey, what would it take to be a follower of Christ? And I'll come follow you. The rhetoric, remember, it's not about rhetoric. It's about meaningful words. And the rhetoric is, Lord, I want to follow you. What would it take? And Jesus starts talking about laying down your finances and giving it all to follow. Paul Washer said this, "If following Jesus Christ does not cost you anything, it's because you've bought into American Christianity." What a statement. Number seven, following Christ means I am following the example of Christ. I am following simply in the example of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says this, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered." Remember, we've got to take up the cross. We've got to endure it as well. leaving us an example. He suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. That's what following is. Maybe you know Cheryl's a teacher, and she's been a teacher our whole married life. This summer we're celebrating 35 years of marriage, and one of the things I know the teachers do is they teach children oftentimes in early stages by tracing objects. It's one of the best ways we can learn and begin to practice our alphabet, writing our alphabet. They always start with something you trace. And you're learning how to be an artist maybe as a child. They start by tracing numbers or tracing objects and then be able to paint in those things. It's this idea of tracing. And I couldn't help but think this may be the perfect illustration for what it means to be to follow Jesus Christ. He's given us an example that we should follow in his steps. In other words, what do we do? What does it look like to be a follower of Jesus Christ? We're just tracing what he has laid out before us. It's that Charles Sheldon book, In His Steps. What would Jesus do? Remember the question? What would Jesus do? In this situation, what would Jesus do here? And then finally, when we ask the question and we begin to realize, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus respond to this criticism I just got? How would Jesus respond to this anger that I'm feeling right now towards someone else? How would Jesus respond to the person who said something unkind to me? And then what we do is find out what he would do and then trace that. And that's what it means to follow Jesus. Number 8, following Christ means that I am actively serving the Lord. John chapter 12, verse 26 says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him by my Father will honor and be glorified. I think it's so importantly, one of the tests about how we are following Christ is the followers of Christ are serving the Lord. Now, this has been a struggle for me in my life because I chose to go into vocational ministry. And for all of my life, from the time I graduated from college, I've been serving the Lord and getting paid to do it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't hear me wrong. I've been thankful for that. But I've learned in the last couple of years, there have been some seasons in my life where I have my vocational ministry, my occupation, what I do, but intentionally looking for those places of service where I don't get paid to do them. And those are my places of service. CMDA, it's a place of ministry, but it's not my place of service because we're employed here, right? What are we doing outside of our places of employment? Now, we would challenge, if I was your pastor, and I would be challenging you as you came to church, you got to serve. This is a place to serve, not a place to sit, right? That's what I would say to you as your pastor. But what about to us? What's your place of service? To be a follower of Jesus Christ means we may have a vocational ministry occupation of what we work in a ministry, but where are we serving? Number 9, following Christ means I am walking in the light and not in darkness. As much as depends on me. I'm walking in the light, not in darkness. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. It's a question we need to ask ourselves when we're coaching ourselves along in our following Jesus process and our walk with the Lord. Am I acting in immediate obedience to all the light that God has given me in my journey? Is there light that he's given me on something that I'm rejecting? Am I acting in obedience? Am I walking in any areas of darkness? Are there areas of my life I need to let the light of the Lord's and the gospel shine in and take over? Am I walking in the light and not in darkness? Number 10, following Christ means I am listening to the voice of the Lord. John chapter 10, verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The sheep, again, following closely behind, they hear his voice, and they're listening carefully, and they're following along. It's like that prayer that Samuel prayed in the Old Testament. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Again, I've learned that the distance you follow behind will make all the difference between how you're hearing, and whether you're hearing well, particularly as we get older, by the way, right? We get a little harder of hearing, right? And we got to get a little closer. We might say, what? excuse me, what did you say? And we got to lean in a little bit. We got to position ourselves to hear better. You know, maybe we used to sit at the back of the class and we used to just kind of be an observer. But, you know, as our hearing starts getting more challenged, we got to move up a little bit closer and we got to be able to listen, lean in and listen carefully. And that's one of the signs of a follower of Jesus Christ, is that they're intent on listening. They hear his voice and whatever he says, they do. Number 11, following Christ means I am determined that I will not turn back again. I couldn't help but think of a little chorus that I used to sing in Sunday school and VBS. I have decided to follow Jesus, right? How's that go? No turning back. No turning back. John chapter 6, verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. It's one of those struggles that people go through. They were hot on following. They found Christ, and they were going to be a follower, but then they realized the cost involved in following, and all of a sudden they think, that's a little bit too much. I don't want to be fanatical. I don't want to be radical in my faith, and they walk away. No turning back. No turning back. Number 12, lastly, following Christ means I am following Christ without distraction. Remember the story in John chapter 21, as Jesus comes back to have a moment on the shore of the beach with his disciples as he's getting ready to ascend into heaven. And he's kind of explaining to them the cost of what it's going to mean to be a follower of Jesus. You know, Peter had made all kinds of promises, and he had said, Lord, if all these people don't follow you, you can count on me following you. He had already messed up, right? He had significantly messed up. But now, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. And Jesus began to explain to him the death that he would die. And immediately, what does he do? He turns around and he says, what about John? I mean, like, am I the only one that's going to pay the price here? Am I the only one that's going to have to pay the significant cost for being a follower of Jesus Christ? And Jesus says these words. This he spoke, signifying what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. And Peter, turning around, saw his disciples, whom Jesus loved, following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? And Peter, seeing him, said to him, but Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. In other words, he calls Peter out and says, hey, look, don't get distracted by John over here. Don't get distracted by any accolades that he gets or anything else or anyone else. Look, this is between me and you, and following me means that this is the ordained destiny that I have laid out for you as you promise to follow Christ. Steve Larson said this, the demands of following Christ will cost you everything, but you will gain far more than you give up. You give up dirt for diamonds. Dirt for diamonds. How often do we struggle with giving up the dirt to be a follower of Jesus Christ? When he promises to those who understand what it means to faithfully follow Christ is the diamonds that we discover. I'm reminded of this song, a hymn we used to sing in church all the time, where he leads me, I will follow. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. David Platt says, my prayer is that people will see that following Jesus costs you everything you are and everything you have. And my prayer is that people will see that Jesus is worth it all. Amen. What does it mean to follow Christ? Those aren't my opinions. That's what the Scripture says, what it means to follow Christ. Let's pray. Father, I pray that since our mission in CMDA Chapel is to develop faithful followers of Jesus Christ, I pray that that would happen in our times together as chapel. Draw us closer to you and help us understand what it means to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. Convict us in the areas today that we need to hear from you and the light that we need to be shed on our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to walk with determination and trace the things that you've laid out for us. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.